This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
He's with us, ESPN, good friend of the show. We love having him on. Welcome in, Trevor. How are you today?
I am doing great, Ryan. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm just going to ask the awkward question right away. Have you done the car tour this year? Are you in the car tour?
I'm actually sitting in the car right now, yes. I've done the car tour this year. Started earlier, actually, because we escalated and did some features this time around. The car tour is I drive around the country on my own time, my own expense. I pay for the gas. I pay for the hotels, usually 10, 12, 14,000 miles a year visiting college football programs just to get a feel for what's going on out there. The only conference I didn't make it to this year was the Pac-12 because 2 days before, I had to go back in and have surgery on my elbow from an old NFL football injury, and that kept me from going out west, but I've been everywhere else.
Okay, Trevor, I'm going to ask you another random question. I'm going to take a look at your alma mater. You know, in year one under Kalani Sitake, they were really close at 9-4. All four of those losses, one possession games. And then last year was just disastrous to 4-9. How important is year three, and how much better do you think BYU will be?
I think BYU will be a lot better if they stay injury-free. The thing is, last year they had to play or start three different quarterbacks in multiple games. In other words, three different quarterbacks had to start multiple games, including a freshman at the end that had to burn his red shirt. And BYU just doesn't have the depth to be able to handle those kinds of injuries. They had epic injuries at the running back position. Dominoes fell because of that on offense, because the offense couldn't go, the defense couldn't. So BYU didn't have the riches that Alabama had last year of having two different guys that turned out to be capable of winning at least a national championship, regular season and then national championship game. And that was their problem. So really, you know, I think when you look at some of these programs that have quarterback competitions, Alabama, Clemson, the others, that Georgia, you know, BYU wishes they had that problem of healthy guys.
You bring up Clemson, a team that has lost in the title game, won a title, and then lost in the semifinals last year, and they bring back an elite, even by NFL standards, defensive line. When you look at this Clemson team, have they made a point to where there's a gap between Clemson and the rest of their conference?
There's a huge gap. Part of it's because Clemson has moved ahead. They are better in a lot of places than they were last year. And people focus on the quarterback competition thinking that Kelly Bryant might hold them back. But Kelly Bryant will be better too. And if he wins the starting job, Clemson is fully capable of winning the national championship. The other part of the ACC, though, is that Florida State, I don't think, is ready to challenge them right now. So who else? Miami? Maybe. Miami's defense will be salty. But I think Clemson's offense is better. Boston College, I think, will be a team that will give a lot of people fits, but they're not Clemson. So Clemson, I think, is the team to beat prohibitively in the ACC, not just because of how good they are, but because somebody else really needs to step up in the ACC, and I don't see that this year.
Trevor Maddich is with us, and you can follow him on Twitter, by the way, @TMaddich on Twitter. See him on ESPN. He's finished up the road trip we talk to him about every year, and I know part of it took you to Wisconsin. As a guy that played in the trenches, I know you got to respect that offensive line. We concentrate so much, Trevor, on the other side of that conference, the other division of that conference. Is there a chance that the champion doesn't even come out of there, that Wisconsin sneaks through and wins this?
Yeah, this year Wisconsin will have maybe the best offense they've ever had. Certainly one of the best offenses they've ever had. The defense will need to step up. They've lost a lot of guys, especially in the secondary from last year, but they'll be pretty good on defense. But the offense has the best offensive line in the country. I mean, four guys that earned All-America honors of some sort last year return as starters. They've got a running back coming back in Jonathan Taylor, who broke Adrian Peterson's all-time freshman rushing record last year. Quarterback Alex Hornibrook is experienced. He's not dynamic, but he's better than people give him credit for. But here's the kicker. They probably have a kicker, too. To them being so good, their wide receiver group as a unit He is the deepest and most athletic and most dynamic that anybody in Madison can remember. Maybe the best they've ever had top to bottom. They've had great individuals, but top to bottom in that group. So now they've got a much better capability of burning teams over the top with the passing game with multiple wide receivers and a quarterback who should be able to hit them to complement that great running game. And that'll be another problem for defenses to have to handle. Ike, Wisconsin is a real threat, not just in the Big Ten, but to make some noise in the playoffs.
Bigger loss for this Penn State offense in the Big Ten. Would it be Saquon Barkley or offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead, who's now at Mississippi State?
Oh, that's a great question. They promoted from within for the offensive coordinator, and so I think there'll be some continuity there. And quarterback Trace McSorley, I talked to Joe Moorhead in Starkville this offseason on my tour, and we did get around to talking about McSorley, the quarterback at Penn State. And Moorhead told me that he is just a master, almost a savant, at running the RPOs. So I think the loss of Moorhead this year will be made up by the experience of McSorley, if nothing else. But losing Saquon Barkley, that's a problem. But Miles Sanders is a very good running back, and I think their running game will be fine just because last year the offensive line blocking for Barkley wasn't great at times. But I think they'll be a lot better. They've got a lot of guys back on the offensive line this year, and it'll probably be the best offensive line they've had under Coach James Franklin. I think the real loss is at tight end, where Mike Gesicki, who was a real matchup problem, is now off to the NFL. So what do they do there? But if they can get that part solved, if they can get that tight end position to be a threat again, Penn State's another team. There are five teams, I think, that can legitimately win the Big Ten. And of those five, I think two of them are national championship threats, Ohio State and Wisconsin. So that'll be a very fun race to watch.
Trevor Maddich is with us, ESPN, as we move around the college football world. I'm interested in what you think of the quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, whether it's Jake Bentley at South Carolina to the battles you get at Georgia and Alabama, and maybe the best one in the league, Jarrett Stidham at Auburn right now. It seems to be an up year for quarterbacks in the SEC.
Isn't that weird?
It is.
I mean, how long have we been looking at the SEC thinking, okay, great defense, great running games, no quarterback play, or at least not as much, not good depth at quarterback. And all of a sudden, the SEC has risen up to maybe be the best quarterback league in college football this year. You still have Drew Locke at Missouri, at Nick Fitzgerald over there at Mississippi State, and Joe Burrow showing up at LSU. See, I think LSU is a team that is going to make a lot of noise this year. Really, the dark horse that people talk about is Mississippi State, and I think that's fair. I think Florida will be better than people give them credit for. But LSU is way under the radar. This year, their defensive line and their whole defense really is back up to where LSU fans expect their defense to be. But the strength of the team at LSU is the wide receivers. They are deep and diverse in capabilities. They've got tall guys, shifty guys, fast guys, all up and down that wide receiver roster. But they have for a long time. They just haven't had a quarterback that could hit them in short, medium, and long passing windows. Well, all of a sudden with Joe Burrow transferring in a quarterback from Ohio State, if he is what they hope he is the missing piece of the puzzle. And the rest of the team is good enough to compete for an SEC West championship if the quarterback position shows up. Now, I hope that LSU is not hard-headed, if they're not stubborn. I hope that Coach Orgeron doesn't say, hey, we need to pound the football, because they're not going to be the best running team in the division. They'll be okay, but they won't be great. But from a passing standpoint, if they really want to go where they've got the best matchups, they'll throw that ball and throw it a lot. And I think LSU fans will have a little bit of whiplash seeing something that they haven't seen for many, many years, and that is a passing game that hits a lot of different people all over the field.
He is Trevor Maddich. You can see him on ESPN, always does that car tour. We love that and respect him for doing that on his own dime, on his own time, so he can tell you more about college football. Trevor, we greatly appreciate the time. Always nice talking with you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Jets, 22-19. The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
All right, take care.